This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the SME Showcase section of our Business Masterclass. Joining me in studio is Carol Sinozia, owner of Lefe Cleaning Services, one of the finalists in the Sorgosan Entrepreneur of the Year Awards. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us. Also joining us in the studio is Colleen Lightbody. She's an international speaker on the subjects of neuroleadership and personal development, and she's joining us from the previous segment of the show where we talked about internal and external communication. So, Carol, an interesting journey in the world of the Sorgosan Entrepreneur Competition. I have insights into some of that process. It's been a year of lots of opportunities, lots of challenges. And tell us a little bit more about Lefe Cleaning Services. What do you do? And then we're going to talk about what you've learned from the Sorgosan experience.
Okay. About Lefe, we're cleaning one of the Sorgosan hotels. Mm-hmm. We clean 444 rooms.
Before, sorry, how many?
444 rooms.
Before
rooms. Before Lefe started, I was working for my mother by the company of Rivma Cleaning Services. So I was still a room attendant until my mother passed on. I had to take over after she passed on. So that's how Lefe came in. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So you had to step into the shoes of your mom when she passed away, and you had a, I would imagine, a team of employees that you were working mm-hmm. with at the time that you needed to support and help them support their families and livelihood. Mm-hmm. It's always interesting when family-run businesses, when something, an event happens of that nature, mm-hmm. that you feel that connection as the entrepreneur to the people that have supported you in the business and your family in the business startup, and you then step in. I often say to people when it comes to entrepreneurial businesses that no one inside the business has the rights to make a decision that would impact on the lives of the rest of the company. And I think as an SME, that's always the challenge, is you always realize, mm-hmm. particularly as the entrepreneur, you're sitting at the head of that decision of saying, hey, I don't want to be the one that says, sorry, all of you are going to have to find new jobs and new opportunities because I'm not prepared to make this happen. So there's huge shoes to step into. How long ago was that?
Come again.
How long ago was that? When did Lefe start?
Lefe started in 2010, okay. And it was not easy for me to take over mm-hmm. because I didn't know anything about the business by that time. Like financial, I didn't know anything about financial. I was lacking confidence a lot. So it was, as I said, it was difficult for me to take over. Mm-hmm. But what I did ask the general manager on the hotel, who was by the name of Linda Reddy, to assist me as the financial issues with my mother's company before it. It was a bit hectic, so I had to get an assistant so that they could, someone can be able to help me. So they did call someone from Sorgosan to come and assist me.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, I just want to stop you there for a moment. That just shows you a great ability that you have as an entrepreneur, and that's the ability to say, I've got a problem in my business. I need help. What's even more admirable is that you're prepared to say to your customer – we were Sorgo at the time, I would imagine, that you needed help from them and they were prepared to give you. It talks to that high level of relationship between you and your customer, but it also talks to their responsibilities as a corporate citizen to say, okay, they're prepared to help you grow your business. Okay?
Okay, and then they did assist me. They did advise me to get an accountant as the previous accountant who was working for my mother, he couldn't help me with the financial issues. There was a lot of mistakes that they were doing. They were not compiling. So after I've discovered that, he just decided to leave. Mm. So they did assist me with a new accountant. That's where I got where Lefe it is today, with the new accountant that they did assist me with.
Okay.
So that's how we managed to compile, you know. And I've realized that, again, messing up with Mr. Taxman is not a good thing.
Yeah. Yes.
So we have to be, we have to compile in order for you to get a business anyway. Not only Sorgosan, but each and every tender that you need to, they always check on your profile. So compiling with the tax and VAT is very important.
Yeah, unfortunately, tax compliance, VAT compliance, these are all issues that really, really impact on businesses out there. And if you get that wrong, and if you have the wrong advice, and I mean, that's always what we say in the show, guys, professional advice is worth every cent you pay for it. Somebody also made the comment, I remember one show, they said, free advice is exactly worth what you paid for it. Nothing. be careful of where you go for advice and make sure you get the right advice and the right support. Now, you obviously, when your mom was running the business, was she also cleaning for Tsogo at the time?
She was working as a supervisor before they can give her a contract. Okay. There were, I can't remember, it was 1995, if I'm not mistaken, where Tsogo-san was outsourcing the housekeeping and giving to the housekeeping supervisors to run their own business. So okay. She was one of the...
She was one of,
yes,
those early startups.
Yes. Okay. That's the first CC that it was implemented.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's great. Now, I mean, which hotel are you currently cleaning for with 444 rooms?
I'm basically at Garden Court Sandton City.
Garden Court Sandton,
yes,
City.
Next to Convention Center.
Next to the Convention,
yes,
Center.
Yes, we're cleaning rooms and public area. The whole hotel. I took over everything around the hotel. It's me who's doing the cleaning.
Okay.
Yes.
So next up, general manager of the hotel. I took over the whole hotel. Well, they always say that a hotel is all about its cleanliness. So, yeah. It's very easy to run a clean hotel. It's an absolute nightmare to run a hotel that isn't clean. You know, no matter what you do, no matter how good the rest of your environment is, if the rooms aren't clean, if the service isn't great from the cleaning staff, no one's happy. Both the rest of the employees, because they have to deal in a messy situation, as well as the guests. So yeah, a critical part of that hotel scheme. Now, I mean, what are some of the things that you've now learned as an entrepreneur within the Tsogo-san environment? I mean, you talk of your financial learning, so that's the one thing that you've clearly learned. What are some of the other key things that you've learned?
I've learned to gain confidence, and through the workshops that Tsogo-san was taking us through, I've learned a lot. I've learned, like, I have to network, because I didn't know how to network. I didn't know how to sell myself in order for me to sell the business. So I've learned such things, yes.
Yeah, okay. So networking opportunities, finding opportunities amongst a key group of people, those are key. Now, have you got any plans to expand your business? I mean, you've got one hotel. Why not another?
Yes, I'm looking forward to expand. I want to expand inside the hotel, because there's a company that is doing carpet for us. There's bed sanitizing. So I've been learning through such things that I can take over. Before I go out, I should do one thing in one hotel so that I can be able to explore on what I'm doing. And I'm also having a vision of opening a training center for training the room attendant to be skilled, because at the moment we're taking anyone from the street and teaching them before we can even start hiring them. So I've decided that maybe it's better if we can take the staff, open the training center, train the staff and have skilled training staff before we can even hire them. So that's how I want to expand more in Lefa.
Now, that's a great environment that you're talking about now, because the reality is the employment scenario in the country really, really needs trained and skilled people to be able to execute. And obviously, the more you can support a training environment, the better, and the better quality that you're able to deliver for the customer. Now, just out of interest, I mean, how many people do you have working for you?
I have 90 staff in total.
90 staff. Okay. So now I'm going to bring Colleen into this conversation. How do you go? Our earlier show, we talked about internal and external communication. How do you communicate internally with your staff? I mean, you've got 90 people that you've got to interact with, and they're running around cleaning rooms on all the floors and 444 rooms that they've got to sort out. How do you communicate well with them? How do you go about that?
My staff, they're like a family to me. I know each and every person, their personality. I know everybody, how do they act. So they're like a family to me. I know each and every staff, and we, like, they're working in different shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's not they're not working only on daily on day shift only. I've got different shifts that are working up to. The last shift is end at 11 o'clock and 7 o'clock in the morning.
Now,
so
now
we're like a family.
Now, that's something we never ask mm-hmm. Colleen about because, wow, that must make communication really difficult internally within your team. Colleen, how do you deal with I mean, you're talking about a shift environment that starts at 6 and ends at 11. How do you get that communication to happen in an organization?
Well, I just love the word that Carol used, and that's family. So I think there's a sense of belongingness that everybody, your staff will have. And we just have different roles and different times when we belong. So I think that's really what's it's that her being authentic, her being willing to learn as well, grow herself as well as really believing in the staff. I don't think the shifting is going to become too much of a problem.
Okay. So I think the important learning there is that no matter what the challenges that you have the ability to work past those if you've got the right, let's call it attitude or mm-hmm. the right approach that you're using in your business. Just out of interest, why the choice to consider them as family? Is that something that's just happened over time or was that a conscious choice that you made?
It happened all the time because we're spending more time at work rather than spending time with our families. So spending more than 12 hours at work. So it's part of a family because that's where we always stay. So that's why I'm taking them as my family because of even if I can be so sad and maybe depressed, I know that if I can talk to one of them, something will come out from one of them. You know, they know how to calm me down even if when I'm upset.
Well, that's important that people's knowledge of each other within the business environment is a core skill that you need to have as a leader. You know, how to build not only your knowledge of others, but other people's knowledge of other people within the team, because that's a critical factor that allows you to move forward collectively. It's about the power of the collective, I guess. Now, you know, in your work, you must have had some really tough times because I can't imagine cleaning 444 rooms is an easy task by any. All I can say is, I'm glad I'm not you because I don't do cleaning 444 rooms that well. Just the sheer number scares me. Give me some of the highs and some of the lows that you've had in the time that you've been doing this since 2010.
The difficulties that I have, you know, working at the hotel with the staff, you know, with theft, those the difficult things that I had, but we overcome it. As I said, we now looking forward to open a school so that we can have trained and skilled staff. And what I was not doing before, I was not doing the police clearance.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also now writing the assessment. So it helped us in order that we're no longer taking anybody anyhow. So with the assessment and the police clearance, it makes our lives easy because we know that which people should we hire.
Yeah, so I'm hearing, you know, you are making sure that you sift out the right types of individuals. And clearly, I mean, just back to the whole issue of communication, I mean, what I'm hearing is you're communicating to potential employees out there that, listen, there's a minimum standard that LIFA will use in what you do and how you interact, and better not apply here if you're not a serious person who's prepared to be trained, skilled, and able to deliver, and as long as you've got a clear record and, you know, you've taken care of your own things. So I guess there's also, and we didn't talk about it earlier, but I guess there's also spoken of communication externally, and then there's, let me call it, the subtle communication that isn't so much as said, but what's done. You are communicating as an organization a position of integrity, a position of customer focus and customer service. You're communicating that very importantly for you, training and capability is a key part of what makes your business a success and what will be what makes somebody who works with you a success. And then ultimately, you're also, I guess, communicating about accountability. You know, you want to make sure that people are doing the right thing. Police clearances are in place. All those things that make, let's call them the hygiene factors, but are very necessary for your business going forward. And you're sending that message out. You know, the very fact that you do a police clearance, for example, when you talk to a job applicant, really does communicate in a non-verbal way where you are as an organization and what you value as a, and I mean, you did, Colleen, you did talk earlier about the importance of values as an organization. What are the key values for LIFA? I mean, what are those values? What do you talk about as your values of your organization?
The values of LIFA is to, you know, like we live in the last impression, we unique, we're providing a unique service for the client.
I was gonna say the one thing that always strikes me is that people forget that it's those little things that leave a lasting impression in the minds of people like guests. I mean, I can think of nothing worse than arriving in my hotel room to find it not in an appropriate state. And I mean, I think that reflects very, very negatively if that does happen on a brand. And thus they take it very seriously. So you're a key component in the world.
Carol, I was on the panel when you came in as one of the finalists. And you were very nervous there too. How did you find the panel? You know, this is kind of the last step, I think, where the CEO sort of sat myself, several people, and asked you questions, didn't they? And you found that quite challenging?
It was challenging, but I also learned something from that I could be able now to go out and pitch for my business. After sitting on the panel of 10 people asking questions, after I went out there, I just told myself, if I can do this, why can't I go and pitch for my business?
Do you want to win?
Yes, of course.
Well, I mean, what do you think it'll do for you if you won that title specifically?
I will learn more about being an entrepreneur. I think I'll learn more to, I'll also gain more confidence. Because probably I will be networking with different people who have more skills or who they do have big business more than mine that I'm having now. So I think it will help me to, you know, communicate with people around.
Colleen, having you here from a neuro point of view, now I'm give me a minute here. So Carol has grown a lot, right, over the last, that's what I'm told also by Toho, and we've also engaged with her a little bit. She was much shyer than what she may come across now, much more of an introvert, lot less confidence. So she's grown a lot, definitely. But one gets the impression, even when you look at the other Tsoho candidates, that she needs to grow more in her confidence. And I think she might agree with you. What I find interesting, though, is apparently when she's with her staff, in a staff meeting, that's a different ballgame. So it's obviously the media entity, the attention, the public publicity. She's just wants to get back at the business and work. But of course, she sees the value of this. Now, I want you to tell her and anyone else, yes, you've grown a lot, but how do you work on your confidence? What must happen in your brain, almost, for you to change, even in your demeanor?
Yes, yeah.
You know, when you walk into a studio, when you walk in front of sit down in front of a panel of 10 to pitch your business so that you can clean another hotel of 444 rooms, what must you do in your brain to come across as calm and confident? Of course, you can't act it out too much, but there's definitely things that happen with your brain, aren't there?
Absolutely, and in fact, it's very simple and very easy.
Okay, help her.
Okay.
This is now free consulting.
I think what we have to realize is that Carol finds it very easy to talk to your staff. Carol, am I right?
Yes.
And you love us and you're passionate about us and you're warm. And I can sense that you're a strong leader and you love to embrace all of them and be inclusive.
Sorry to interrupt. And that doesn't necessarily come across the same
no.
when she's in a different environment.
Exactly.
But she's got to get there.
So she has the capacity to do it. She's just got yes. a story in her head. I'm not talking about you. The story in your head is that this is frightening, but it's just the story. So it's about changing that story in your head about where you're presenting. Just pretend they're all your staff, and then you'll be much more comfortable and confident.
Is that what you would say? So obviously, some people are just very confident. Some entrepreneurs or individuals can act it out, but inside they're dying.
But it's just in your head. It's not, you know, if you stand in front of a mirror and talk, you have the capacity to talk. So you have the ability to talk confidently. It's the context and your story about that context.
But just a practical example, before she walked into the studio, or before she goes into a pitch, what would you suggest? 3, 4, 5 steps. What can she do to almost change her demeanor and the way she approaches it?
Okay, so there are some lovely practical steps, because really what happens as soon as you go into a threat state, what's happening is that your heart starts beating like mad, you start breathing rapidly and shallow, you sweat on the surface of your skin. So all it is a threat response. So anything that can bring oxygen back to your brain, deep breathing, for example. I know, you know, go for a good rapid walk before your session. And by the way, standing is actually a lot better than sitting, because then you can move around a lot. If you're talking on the phone, you can use a portable phone. So, and then I'm coming back to that story in your head, is just to understand that that's just the story. And so just to put yourself and pretend, like you said, you can almost pretend it until you become it.
So would you in your mind say, all right, I'm standing here now, me, Adrian, or Carol, or whoever, Colleen. I know that in my mind, my story says I must be scared.
Mm-hmm.
My story says this is very nerve-wracking. My story says, but let me change my story.
Mm-hmm. This is exciting. This is fun.
This is exciting.
This is my new family.
Fun. So it is about almost maybe going to the mirror in the bathroom and looking in the mirror and saying,
absolutely.
And saying, this is fun, this is exciting, this is not, but not going, this is fun, this is, you know, it is a bit of acting, isn't it? For that moment,
yeah,
anyway.
Absolutely. And, you know, act it until you become it, in a sense. Take and it's it, not being inauthentic.
Take it
till you make it. That's a better way to say it. But it's not about being inauthentic, because she knows and she trusts herself. It's just about how to project that knowledge, knowing,
and especially trust. In her case, we know if we had to put a fly on the wall or a little camera in the corner of her boardroom, we'll see a different Carol.
Exactly.
So she knows she can do it.
Exactly.
It's just a matter of I've got to take that story and say, maybe I'm going to talk to my family here. So this is my family that I'm walking into, you know, the studio or this pitch or whatever it may be. It's easier said than done, but the truth doesn't change, does it? That's the way that you should do it.
Absolutely. And also just focusing on what is positive in the environment, because we tend to pay a lot of attention to the person who's raising their eyes looking bored, but rather take the person on the panel whose face you really like and reminds you of somebody that, and talk to that person. You know, focus your energy on what's positive and what you're enjoying rather than what's frightening.
Good point, Lee.
Carol, can I just mention, I find it quite funny, the discussion, but please don't underestimate the simplicity of what's being said here. I grew up as a shy guy in the world, and I mean that. I was only at home when I had books to read as well, and life has taught me so many important lessons. If you address your staff or you address a board, you know, it's really the same thing. These are people out there. So it's about the story that plays your mind. Don't underestimate what Artie said, the growth that's in you. People love it when you're authentic. And this is brought out in the previous session as well. So really, it's quite simple. Just when you speak, all these are normal people. They may sit there as executives, etc., but they're all pretty normal people. People are impressed by the authenticity of the sense in you. Don't try and cover it up with fear, etc. It's about the story you believe in. Thank you.
Thank you.
And the reason I mentioned it, you're all different. So I've now engaged with all of you to some degree during this competition of yours. And now we put you on a different platform and we engage you here. And unfortunately, many competitions, Richard and Colleen, are probably based on more visible, mm-hmm. Pressure-filled public sort of mm-hmm. platforms. Mm-hmm. And you know, who really goes and sits and watches her all day with her staff where it really matters? And exactly. I'm sure a bit of that happens with this whole mm-hmm. competition. But in essence, it's a bit like a person who's brilliant with a team. But the minute they end up in a boardroom in their own corporate, and they're sitting there, and there's the CEO, and these two levels down, mm. and then their boardroom presence dies.
Mm.
And then they never get the promotion, because where it matters, we've got to market ourselves upward, sideways, yeah. downward. Okay, so some people are very good downward. Some people are very good sideways, upward, but they're useless with their staff. But when they're in the boardroom, boy, everyone wants to promote them because they come across so confident and strong. But it's not really what's happening out there.
Yeah.
So you've got to work on that one. As a leader, and as I said, you've come a long way, but you're someone who works with the brain, and there's chemicals that comes off the brain if we psych ourselves up in the wrong way, you know, if you play a negative story as opposed to a positive one.
Mm. Now, I mean, Carol, what is the one thing, as we close out the show, that you wish you had known in 2010? That you'd listen to a radio show like this and thought, hey, if I'd known that back then, you would have had less pain as an entrepreneur. What are some of those thoughts that are running as I say that? What are some of the things that I can see something's running through your mind right now?
Okay, you know, before I wished, like, I was like dreaming, I can say that, like, to be one of the something in life and to be here also. Mm. But now when I'm here, it's a different story. I got nervous. I don't know. I just feel like,
yeah.
Yes.
So one of the things that one needs to think about is what you truly aspire to be, and what because I think sometimes, you know, you start, and I've seen this, you know, people will go, oh, I started my own business because I wanted to have greater freedom of my time. And then they spend their entire period, or if you look at them 5 years later, and they've become total workaholics. And you kind of go, well, hold on a second. How did that factor into your big plan? I mean, I've often said, you know, we should all write down every kind of 3 to 5 years what we want to do or what we want to achieve in the next 3 to 5 years, mm-hmm. and what our objectives are and what we'd like to be, because that's a real interesting experience. I mean, I once did that. I wrote down some things about myself that I wanted to see happen differently, and I was quite amazed a few years later. I came back to read that list. And, you know, I had, this was back in the days when I was still at varsity and then starting out as a chartered, you know, training to be a chartered accountant. And I had written, what I wanted in terms of, for example, I'll share it. I'd written down what I wanted as a car. I'd said, you know, I'd like a second-hand vehicle, this particular second-hand vehicle. And I looked at this and I thought to myself, wow, okay, was that really, you know, what I wanted at that point? And did that work for me? And yeah, you know, you evaluate it 3 or 5 years later and then you say to yourself, okay, so where have I come from and where do I need to go into the future? So, Carol, all the very best with the competition. We know that we're into the closing stages. We wish you all the very best and wish you and Lifa all the very best. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for being with us. We really appreciate the time on the show. Okay, so that was Carol Sinozia, owner of Lifa Catering Services, one of the finalists in the Tsogo Sun Entrepreneur of the Year Awards. Next up, the Transformation Platform on Transformation in the Healthcare Industry.
This is CliffCentral.com.